All right, everyone, let's go to God in prayer. Let's try to close our and close our minds about the thing of God and how he's blessed us to come to a new week, a new day that was not promised, how he's carried us over the previous weeks, months, years. He's brought us to this time to glorify and to edify him. We have so much to be thankful for.
Amen.
So let's just focus on how good God has been to us and those that we love, how he has shielded and protected us, how he has blessed us beyond measure. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you've given us this opportunity to be together as a family to glorify and to edify you.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed be your name. We come before your throne of grace and mercy in the name of Jesus with a heart of thanksgiving, with a heart to say thank you, Father, for all the things you've done for all of us on this call.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the opportunity, Father, to lift our voices to glorify you, Father, for there's so many wish they had that opportunity but don't have it today. Lord, let us not be slow to praise you, to honor you, and to glorify you in all things. Despite of what our circumstances or our situation look like, Lord, we give you glory, honor, and praise today.
Yes.
We thank you for the favor, Father, you poured out in our lives. We thank you, Father, for the grace and mercy that you've given not only us but our children and grandchildren. We thank you, Father, for our loved ones, Father. Even those that are not calling on your name, even those who are going, who are wayward, Lord, we thank you, Father, because, Lord, we know that we lift them up and you will speak to them as well. Give them a heart to hear you, Father, a mind to understand, ears to hear, and a heart to receive you, Father. Would you please do that today, Lord God? And, oh, Lord, as we come together to hear your word, would you please open our ears to hear? Open our hearts to truly receive it, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we're asking. Bless the speaker, Jeanette, Father. Let your word come through her. Let Jeanette decrease and let your spirit increase in her today, Father. Would you do that, Father? Because, Lord, we're all having need. We all have needs, Father. But, Lord, we need you more than anything else, more than riches and wealth and all of that, Lord. We need you, Father, because all that will fade away. We need your word, which will be forever. So, Father, thank you for the opportunity today. Let your anointing fall afresh on us, Lord God, each and every one of us. Meet us where we are right now, Dad. In the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
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 We are in the book of Samuel. 1 Samuel, we're in chapter 16, and we're going to be starting at the 14th verse. I'm going to do a recap because of where we are. We have been visiting this season in Samuel's life. Samuel was called as an infant, and by the time he was 12 years old, he heard the voice of God actually called his name. And he was raised in the temple, and he is a prophet. And we know that a prophet is a mouthpiece for God. And eventually the people, now Samuel starts aging, and he grows older, and people want a king. And Samuel's sons, because they were not living right, in right standing with God, but doing all kinds of, you know, behind-the-scenes mischief, that should have become judges, they weren't fit to be judges. Meanwhile, the people say, hey, we want to be like other nations, and they become like other nations, and they have a king. And they are warned that with the king, you know, the king can just call on you and say, hey, I want your son. I want your daughter. And take your property. But the people still said, hey, don't care, want a king. Long and the short of it, Saul becomes king. Saul, very humble, did not see that coming, and he came into kingship very humbly. But now Saul has had quite a few victories now under his belt because the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul. Spirit of the Lord, we're talking about the Holy Spirit came upon Saul at the time of his anointing, as he went to walk away, the Spirit of God fell on him, and all that Samuel had prophesied was going to happen, happened. And he, before you know it, even Saul was prophesying. But with that came prudence, courage, wisdom, things that the Holy Spirit imparted to him that he would need as a king. Great courage. So here we have Saul. He's had all these victories. And now that he's had victories, he's listening less.
Mm.
Sometimes we do the same thing. As we have victories, we listen less.
Amen. Amen.
Either seems to be a road back to where we once were, that God delivered us from.
Mm. Mm.
Sometimes, we are not having victory, so we're struggling, and we just begin to doubt, and we forget the things that God has already done.
Mm-hmm.
Or we're doing so well, forget that it's God that's allowing us to do well.
Mm.
We have very short-term memories sometimes. And the adversary's role is always to lead us back away from God.
Mm.
So here Saul is making decisions. You know, he's told to do something a certain way, as we, wasn't supposed to take, anything from these people that they had, the Amalekites that he was supposed to wipe out completely, that had offended God greatly. But, Saul did it his way and lied about it. And Samuel said, "Hey, what's the sheep I hear bleeding and cows I hear moaning? What are you lying? What are you doing? Why did you do this?" And he even spared the king the serpent's head he brings into Israel's camp. So the Lord says, through Samuel, "I'm going to take the kingdom away from you and give it to someone else who has a heart after me." He sends, after Samuel goes on talking to the Lord and pleading for Saul and mourning for Saul, finally the Lord said, "What are you mourning for my enemy for? Why are you doing this? I'm the one that's rejected him, and why are you still mourning for him?" That's a lesson to us there, is if a person is going to continue in sin and wickedness, and they're an enemy of God, that maybe that should be your enemy too. You shouldn't be, constantly grieving over someone that, has rejected God.
Mm.
So we move on, and we're in the 14th chapter, and David was anointed last week, David was anointed king of Israel. And somebody asked the question, how old was David when this happened? David was approximately 15 years old.
Okay, that's what I got too. Okay, that was Carol, I think, that asked that question. Yeah.
He was approximately 15.
Yeah.
And by the time, we'll get on to that. So he's just a little boy. And I'm saying that because I had two sons, still do, they're grown men now, though. And they, by 15, they're not even finished getting tall.
Hmm.
They're still, remember, some of us remember in junior high how short the guys were?
Yeah, and then overnight.
A lot of the girls had reached their height, but the guys, not so much. So this David is still considered a boy when he was anointed. Now, when God calls you for a purpose, you will find your way to that purpose because God will pave the way. So say, for example, you believe God has told you that you should, let's do something easy, that you should be a motivational speaker. Not motivational, but a Christian speaker. Say God, you feel God has told you that. You don't have to go out there to make it happen. God will open the doors.
Mm. Yeah.
Because he is the one that's calling you to it. He tells David, he gets David anointed as king through Samuel. But David doesn't go, excuse me, anybody looking for a king? You don't see David moseying around, poking around to see who's hiring kings this week. Since I've been anointed king, I wonder I'll go to the want ads and check out who's hiring kings. That's not how that works. And remember, even when Saul was anointed king, all of Israel didn't even know about it. And what did Saul do? Didn't even say a word about it. He let God bring forth what God is doing. He didn't tell one person, not even his uncle, that he had run into a prophet that had anointed him king of Israel.
Yeah.
We would do well to keep what God is doing and what God is speaking to you privately, private. Let God bring it forth. Just as he talks about when we go to pray, go into your closet and pray. You don't have to announce it on a mountaintop. By the way, I want everyone to know I prayed for 2 hours this morning. And this is what I prayed for, and I'm expecting God to answer this and do that and blah, blah. Keep some of this to yourself. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing on all things.
Amen.
Let God show forth. He says he who humbles himself will be exalted, but he who exalts himself will be what?
Abased.
Mm-hmm. Brought low. So just let God do what God is doing. And this is how he began to open a door for this little guy, David. Start, please.
Sure. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and
where
the distressing
exactly?
Spirit from the Lord. I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
We're in 14, 1 Samuel, chapter 16, starting on verse 14.
Okay.
Sorry, Sandra. Excuse me.
No problem. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said to him, surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you. Let our master now command your servant, who are before you, to seek out a man who is skillful player on the harp, and it shall be that he will play it with his hand when the distressing spirit from God is upon you, and you shall be well.
Pardon
so
right
Saul,
here. Pause right here for a second. This is something that's been debated and argued, and people get into big theological debate over it. It is not complicated. They say, well, if God is a good God, how could he put a evil spirit on Saul? All God has to do is lift his hand and allow Satan to do what Satan wants to do.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Please understand Amen. That this isn't that God is part evil spirit and put an evil spirit from himself on Saul. Please stop.
Mm-hmm.
Just understand, because you're going to run into this kind of foolish argument from those who are, you know, pushing Lucifer's agenda.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They are going to try to discredit God and say God is not a good God. He is a good God. But when you mm-hmm. depart from him and when his spirit leaves. Now, remember, Saul had received the Holy Spirit upon his anointing.
Mm-hmm.
But enough disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying something. Enough disobedience.
Come on now.
And eventually, he said when he sent his Holy Spirit in the New Testament that he will never leave you or depart from you, and he won't. But he will stop operating in your life
mm-hmm.
when you quench him continuously.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says don't quench the fire that's within you. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. But you keep mm-hmm. not listening. You keep doing things your own way. You keep saying, I'm hearing from you, Lord, but you know what? I'm going to not do it quite like that. I'm going to do it a little bit more my way than your way.
Yeah.
Keep that up and see how long it takes for the Holy Spirit to just stop dealing with you. I'm not going to keep talking to you. He says, my spirit will not always strive with a man.
Mm.
You keep ignoring and keep putting me on the back burner, and I'll just stop. I don't have to do this.
Whew.
So that's what went on in these first few verses. God says, how about Satan? I will allow this spirit to work all over.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everything that the Spirit of God departed from Saul, everything that came with that anointing is now gone. At the onset of this, what did we talk about was given to Saul? Courage, wisdom. Prudence. Mm-hmm. All these things are gone. Well, what's the opposite of courage?
Fear.
Fear. There we go. Now he's distressed all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He's in a state of, not all the time, because his spirit torments him periodically. You'll notice that a person can be possessed with an unclean spirit, and it's not in the forefront all the time. It periodically will head itself. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, they find themselves, in the Saul's case, overcome with anxiety again.
Mm-hmm.
Fear. He can't make good decisions anymore. He questions all his decisions. Now he's in a situation where he's not really fit to be over the Israel, because he can't think. Fear, plagued, agitated, when that spirit comes upon him. Okay, keep going.
Oh, that was so profound. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. We received that in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen.
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 Verse 17. So Saul said to his servant, provide me now a man who can play well and bring him to me. Then one of the servants answered and said, look, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and handsome person. And the Lord is with him.
Stop there, right there again. Pause again.
Mm-hmm.
Then one of the servants answered and said, that means this guy must have known David, correct?
Right.
He either knew David well or he knew of David.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
what does that tell you about David? Mm-hmm. It tells you he has lived in a way that his reputation precedes him.
Yeah.
Oh, did I say he's 15?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe right now he's between 15 and 19 years old, no older than that.
Right.
And he's lived in a way that people, hey, you're looking for life. Oh, by the way, he's given the gift of music. See what I mean by how God has a way of equipping you with what it's going to take for you to get where you need to go? He gave him the gift of music.
Mm-hmm.
David didn't fashion himself. So he's gifted with the very thing that Saul needs at this very time. But most importantly, the servant, somebody knows of David and can speak so highly of him that Saul immediately says, yeah, go get the kid. Let's try it. That's how we ought to be living.
Amen.
We ought to be living that if somebody is saying, hey, I got a job opening, I got just the person for this.
Mm-hmm.
See how by living correct, the doors are automatically going to be opening in the direction you're supposed to go?
Yes.
Amen.
What would this be like if nobody could say, I know of this kid who could play. I know this kid, he plays the harp, he plays really well, but got to tell you, he's got some anger management problems.
Yeah.
I know this kid, he can play the harp really well, and he's really gifted, but man, is he contentious. Oh boy, does he start a lot of trouble everywhere he goes.
Mm.
No, instead he had good report.
Mm-hmm.
And it followed him and got him all the way into the king's presence, from a shepherd boy to what? Armor bearer of the king? Keep reading.
19. Therefore, Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who is with the sheep. And Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, a young goat, and sent them by his son David to Saul. So David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor-bearer. Then Saul sent to Jesse, saying, please let David stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight. And so it was, whenever the Spirit of God was upon Saul, that David would take a harp and play it with his hand. Then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. Amen.
Okay. So let's go through that a little bit. And
sure.
Whenever the spirit from God would come upon him, it wasn't the spirit of God, but the spirit from God, that from
mm-hmm.
God only again, meaning God allowed it.
Mm-hmm.
And then this spirit would be driven out or quieted down by the sound of music.
Mm, so beautiful.
Now, if you take this and you look at it and you say, wow, I mean, this is the story of what happened with David and Saul, and that's really interesting how that spirit had to come under subjection when David would play the harp.
Mm-hmm.
And when we look into Psalms, remember, David is the one who wrote most of the Psalms, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So what kind of heart did David have?
Heart for God.
Richard said a heart for God. How about also, if you read what Tammy read on Wednesday, how about a heart of thanksgiving?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, a heart of praise.
Ah.
So what do you think was in that music when David would play the music?
Praises to God.
Praising the Lord, yeah.
Worship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Worship.
Thanksgiving.
So now let's take this example here, that music made that horrible spirit have a problem acting up. And it would soothe Saul, which was all part of the plan of God. But that also in the plan of God, it was David that was chosen. I don't think that if David was playing hard rock, it would have been the same effect. I just don't think so. I think it's that the music that David played came from David's heart, and David, as we know, had a heart of praise.
Mm-hmm.
When Samuel mm-hmm. came looking for one of Jesse's sons, he was looking for a particular heart. Remember he said that? He said, man looks on the outward appearance, but God is looking at the heart. Do you have another son? Is there anyone else here? Because ain't seeing it with the sons before me.
Mm-hmm.
So now let's take this and apply it. Can anybody testify on this call that when a tormenting spirit has come to you, you're full of anxiety or you're feeling, you know, pressure or you're feeling uncertain or you're feeling discouraged or you're feeling depressed, melancholy?
Yes.
But you put on praise and worship music, and
yes.
before you know, it's gone and you're lifted.
Amen. Yes.
I want us to understand that when we're reading these, don't just see the story, see the application.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This wasn't just for Saul.
Mm-hmm.
This incident is recorded because all these years later, oh, wow, I don't know what to do. Oh, remember? Try music.
Mm-hmm.
Put on some praise and worship and see that even today an unclean spirit trying to torment you, discourage you, bring you down, cause you to become depressed.
Mm-hmm.
Even today it's driven out by praise.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
What a beautiful thing that there's jewels in these verses.
Mm-hmm.
Jewels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's why his word is the living word. It still applies today.
Amen.
This isn't just the FYI of what happened and how that spirit was controlled. And it's a one-time incident for Saul. I use it all the time. Sometimes I can't get motivated. Sometimes I just feel discouraged. I feel everything that could be good is bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen.
And then the Lord will remind me. Maybe if you praised a little, try that. Well, I don't even mean, praise like how. Praise like what? Praise what? Thank you, Lord, for everything there. He says, okay, I have some worshipers, and their music has been recorded, not just in the Psalms, but in worshipers that I've raised up today that will lift my name for you. Turn on your praise music. Listen to the worshipers. Before you know it, you'll join in the worshipers. Before you know it, the whole house is clean. Before you know it, you've rewritten that chapter.
Come on.
Look what God can do.
Preach it.
And where is it? Right here in Psalm. You're being tormented for whatever reason. Sometimes God's allowing a tormenting spirit for a reason. In Saul's case, it was due to his disobedience. Sometimes, in our case, it's just because the adversary will do whatever he can do. And God allows him but so much because it helps us grow.
Amen.
How could I speak of what praise will do if I've never been down?
Right.
Okay, continue. Please.
17. Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle. And we're gathered at Soka. I'm not sure how to pronounce this. Soka, which belongs to Judea. They encamped between Soka and Azekah in Ephes the Mem. Like, really? And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and the Israel stood on mountain on the other side, with the valley between them. And a champion went out from a camp of the Philistines, named Goliath, from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze.
Let's stop there for one second.
Wow, that's heavy.
Mm-hmm. 5,000 shekels of bronze is roughly 78 pounds.
Wow.
Heavy. And 6 cubits and a span is roughly 9 feet, 9 inches tall.
Wow.
Now, as tall as 9 feet, 9 inches tall is, David would probably be in the 5 foot range at 15. So that looks almost like twice his size, literally. Now, also understand, now remember just weeks ago, or maybe last week or the week before, we talked about Saul in this particular battle, that Jonathan, are you ready for this? Remember Jonathan?
Mm-hmm.
And Jonathan went, he put a fleece out, then he climbed at the side of the cliff. And then he ended up slaying a bunch of them. And then the Lord stepped in, right, with an earthquake. And then so much confusion happened among the Philistines that they started killing themselves. Remember that? Okay. So where's Jonathan right now? Where's Jonathan? Jonathan, who was so brave to go climbing up a mountainside with his armor bearer, two of them, against the Philistine army, a little encampment of theirs, trusting God, why is this guy coming out taunting every day? And everybody's afraid, but where's Jonathan? No mention of Jonathan in this.
Mm-mm.
And you want to know why?
Yeah, wow.
Jonathan was no less still a child of God, but remember the courage that came upon Jonathan to go fight that battle?
Right.
That was from God. And sometimes, people of the living God, it's not your turn. Just because you had a victory over here doesn't mean that it's for you to go fight every battle that ensues.
Amen. Wow.
So Jonathan has fear like the rest of Israel when they see Goliath. Why? Because God is going to empower the person that's going to handle this situation. This is David's turn. Jonathan's turn was last week, I think, or the week before.
Right. Amen. Yeah, we get it.
Jonathan had been delivered a great victory.
Yeah.
The Spirit of God was with Jonathan. God answered Jonathan's prayer. Does it mean that God is any less with Jonathan today? No. It just means that the spirit of courage and the moving of the Holy Spirit is moving on David right now, not Jonathan, okay? It's not always your turn. You're not always going to be the one that, you know, delivers such a great message that really moves. Everybody has different turns. God has more than one that soldier of valor. It's not just you. So you say, wow, I was thinking about this person. I was going to minister to them. And then they came and told me that this other person came and ministered to them, and that they were really blessed. And I thought I was going to get to do that. Well, no, not your turn.
Oh my God.
We've got to learn how to just praise God that his work is being done, whether it's your turn to do it or not.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Rejoice when somebody comes alongside and is ministering to someone that you thought maybe you were going to get to do that.
Yeah.
Why do we want to do that? It's not all about pride or ego or any of that. Sometimes it just encourages us greatly when we see how God can use us. Oh, but I'm sorry. Jonathan got encouraged last week. This isn't his week. Now God's trying to encourage somebody else. So just stand behind that person. Lift them up.
Amen.
Don't become envious and jealous. Mm. God has a turn for you too. However, he's going to use you. He's going to use you. You're not still here because he doesn't have a plan for you.
Amen.
If he's all planned out for you, you wouldn't be here.
Amen.
Yes.
You wouldn't be taking up the oxygen you breathe.
Amen.
Job would be done. So the bare fact that you're still here, he still has got work for you to do. So don't begrudge it when it's somebody else.
Amen.
Ooh. Amen. Amen.
Let God do what God's doing. So right now it's David's turn. We hear nothing about the victorious Jonathan of just a couple of weeks ago. Not a word. Keep going.
6. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? I am not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid.
Let's stop there for a second.
Yeah.
Okay. Something else is also going on here that I want us to recognize. Remember that Jonathan had just had this great encounter.
Right.
With, might have been the Amorites or Amalekites or Philistines. Doesn't matter because word spread.
Right.
And fear had come upon the other nations. So the Philistines, if we recall, had retreated and just kind of went away a little while, remember? Why are they back taunting Israel with no respect now? Could it be that they heard rumor that Saul has lost his ever-living mind? Could it be that when the people of God are no longer protected in the eyes of the enemy will attack?
Amen. Woo. Mm-hmm. Right there, right there, right there.
Yes. So what am I saying? I'm saying that sometimes if the leadership is no longer intact, you can expect an attack from the enemy.
Yeah. Mm.
Those of you who are called into ministry, it is extremely important that you stay intact.
Mm-hmm.
Because the adversary is like little demons, and they're waiting outside, waiting for an opening.
Ooh.
That is why they're taunting Israel right now. They've heard Saul ain't quite there anymore.
Hmm.
We heard that the Spirit of God isn't really with him anymore. That God of Israel that caused the earth to shake, the God of Israel that caused, you know, the army to start killing themselves.
Yeah.
That mighty, mighty God of Israel. Let's see how mighty they are now that the head, the king, the anointed one of Israel has lost his mind. We've heard that God, same God, has left Saul. So who's going to lead people now? Let's see. So here they come and they're attacking, but God. Oops. God already knew what was going to happen. God knew when Saul was going to reject him. God knew he was going to raise up David. But the enemy is going to take his chances. Let's start moving in. Let's start. What happens when you stay in a fellowship when the leader has gone bad? Has anybody ever experienced it? The leader of a church, or the leader of usually the church, starts drifting. They start opening the doors to other things.
Yeah. Run.
All but better.
Yeah.
Because under that leadership is coming an attack.
Yeah.
What happens when a shepherd is now no longer a shepherd? He's asleep.
Hmm.
In come the wolves.
Yeah, ooh-wee, I'll visualize that.
Mm-hmm.
Can you visualize that? I see that.
And what happens? What does that look like when a shepherd is asleep? His concern is no longer really the people. His concern has been shifted.
Mm-hmm.
Either to money, often to money, sometimes to women, the things that power has enabled him to have,
mm-hmm.
or her. Now he's not really caring about the loss so much. He's not caring about the sheep, and in come the wolves. Pastor, do you mind? You need to make me a deacon because I pay a lot in tithes. So I need to be a deacon. Okay, go ahead. I've seen it happen. I saw a woman made a deacon in a church who sat in my chair and told me she doesn't even necessarily believe in the Bible.
Whoa.
So I went to the pastor and I said, why did you make this woman a deacon? He said, well, she said she wanted to be a deacon. And then I looked him in his face, he looked at mine, and I knew exactly what it was about. She was paying a lot in tithes. So she didn't really ask to be a deacon. She demanded to be a deacon. And the shepherd's asleep. Okay, well, if they're paying a lot of money and keep the building up, I guess, okay. Well, how many wolves are you going to let in? How many sheep are you going to forfeit because of this?
Yeah.
So, children of the living God, those who are called to ministry, be very, very careful that you're not lured away by something else you think you need. If you need it, God will supply it. That pastor would have never lost his church because he told her no. But the church is now lost because he didn't. It was one after another. Next thing you know, you had this one coming forth. I want to do the afternoon Bible study. They unraveled that Bible study so fast it wasn't funny. I've seen it. This is what happens when the church has been exposed. And this is exactly what we're looking at right here with in this story. The Philistines said, hey, heard Saul is not a force to be reckoned with anymore. He's not on his knees. He's at the bank. But not Saul. Saul lost his mind. He can't make a decent decision. He goes off raging and he's scared all the time. Wow, that's a great time to attack, isn't it, when somebody's scared all the time, paranoid. Perfect. Keep going.
Now, David was the son of that Ephraite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and who had 8 sons. And the man was old, advanced in years, in the days of Saul. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to the battle. The names of his 3 sons who went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn. Next to him was Abinab, and the 3rd, Shema. David was the youngest, and the 3 oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep in Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near and presented him 40 days morning and evening. Then Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves and run to your brothers at camp and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000 and see how your brothers fare and bring back news of them. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, and took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to the fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper and ran to the army and came greeting his brothers. Then, as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines. And he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel.
Okay, stop one sec. I want to just make sure we're all on the same page of what's going on here. Now, remember, David comes and he plays the harp for Saul to quiet that spirit. But periodically, he goes home to tend the sheep for his father because his father is really old. And the 3 eldest sons have joined the Israeli army. So the father sends David, oh, go check on your brothers and bring this, you know, this amount of, you know, food. And when he gets there, it had been 40 straight days, 40 straight days that the Philistine from Gath, the 9-foot-9-inch man, who can, you know, his armor's 78 pounds, he comes out every single morning and has done so for 40 straight days. So here we are, and every day, every morning, all of the Philistine army, they pile up on this edge of this, remember, 2 cliffs, and in the middle is a valley. So you got all these Philistines ready for battle every day. And then you've got a little battle that ensues. And then you've got all these Israelites on the other side that are, you know, ensuing in battle. But not they're not having an all-out, you know, clash. They're just all prepared, which can you imagine the strain of that every single day? You
yes.
don't know when it's going to happen, but it's all prepared to happen.
Yeah.
And then every day this guy comes out and he challenges Israel, and every day Israel is afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And not one person will respond to this. Okay, here we go.
Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him in this manner, saying, "So shall it be done for the man who kills him." Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, "Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." Yeah, he did. And David
wow.
said, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first ones did. Now, when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth."
Stop
but
right
David
there.
Stop
for a second. I want
sure.
to back up because I want you to know that when God places something on your heart and he gives you the courage to go forth and do it,
yes.
don't be surprised when you have people, even in your own family, telling you, "Who do you think you are?"
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Excuse me, shouldn't you be watching those few sheep we have left in the wilderness
right.
somewhere? Don't you have something to do with your arrogant, insolent self?
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be surprised that the most discouragement you receive comes from the mouth of the people that think they know you the best.
Wow, preach it. Preach
Let's go fast forward right into Jesus. He couldn't even do miracles in his own town because of them, his
yeah.
family, and the people that thought they knew him the best. Who does this guy think he is? Isn't that the carpenter's son? I'm saying, when God has given you the courage to go forth, go forth.
Amen.
Amen.
It doesn't matter how many naysayers say, "Well, how do you know God told you that?" How do you know that you can do something like that? How can you do something like that? You've never done that before. Oh, here we go again. This is little Mr. or Mrs. Know-it-all. Think they can do just anything, huh? Why don't you just go back to the little bitty thing that you can barely do well?
No.
When they had some nerve, David had killed a lion with his bare hands.
Mm.
David had stopped a bear that were coming after the sheep. But his brothers, a prophet is without honor in his own home. A prophet is without honor in his own home.
Ooh, wow.
So when God is calling you to do something, probably family members aren't the best people to talk to. I know that sounds terrible.
I agree, too.
You say, "Oh, no. God has called me to do thus and so," and they're like,
right.
Well, you know what? You might want to check that at the door and leave it there. Don't know who you think you are, but you're one of us.
That's so true.
And then why is this older brother feeling like that? Because he's afraid himself.
Mm-hmm.
And here you come up with your two-pint self talking about you're not afraid of this Philistine, this uncircumcised Philistine. Oh, like you're going to do something about it? Take your little boastful self back home. You didn't come up here to give us food. You came up here because you just wanted to watch the battle. You're not fooling anybody. How many times do family or people close to you accuse you of wrong intentions?
Yeah.
Like they know your heart? Seriously? When did you know my heart? David didn't go up there. David went up there because Daddy asked him to. And then when he saw what was going on, the Spirit of the Lord was falling on David to vex him just enough that this should never be.
Yeah.
And then the courage of the Lord, the Spirit of God, brings courage. The courage of the Lord says, I'll handle this. But instead, his brother's accusing him of, you didn't even come up here to give us food. You came up here because you just wanted to see people fight. You're not fooling anybody.
Yeah.
Watch who you talk to is what I'm getting at. When you have opportunity and God is working in your life, do you know that most of my family for over 10 years did not even know I was doing ministry in Florida?
Wow.
They call me up. They say, how am I doing? I'm doing fine. I'm doing a little this, a little that. I didn't even bother to tell them.
Yeah.
Because the condition that they're in, they're not Holy Spirit filled. All they're going to say is, well, what are you charging? Are you making any money at that? Well, isn't that a waste of time? Well, why are you doing that? Well, where'd you get an idea like that? Well, how can you do that? You didn't go to school for that.
Yes, you're right. So right, yeah.
So why would I open the door to all that negative stuff? I already have the example of my Lord and Savior when his family did nothing but mock him.
Mm.
Jesus got to the point where when the disciples came and he's in the middle of preaching, the disciples come and say, oh, Jesus, your mother and your brothers are want to talk to you. Do you know they were trying to get him committed? They were trying to say that Jesus was crazy at one point.
Wow.
And what did Jesus say? He said, my mother and my brothers are those who do the will of my Father. End of story. Sermon's not going to stop here because they want to pull me off to the side. You're creating too much commotion. Not your call. Look at the boldness of our Lord and Savior and look at his predecessor, David. He came from the line of David. What a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's try and finish this story up. Well, I don't think so, are we? Nope, we're not. 10:55. We'll pick this up next time.
Oh, we got to pick it up? You don't want me to go?
Yeah, we'll pick it up because we've got 5 more minutes and I want to leave it open for anybody that has any comments or questions so far.
I just want to comment on that last little piece you just spoke about, or how we have to be very careful of who we speak to. And I've always found it a shame because I get so elated when God does things in my life, and I can't share it with everybody, and I'm still working on that. Well, God's still working on that in my life because I am one to share. Be quiet. See, but I hear you laughing. But you're right, not, you know, no one, they won't understand. Why share those things with those who just won't get it?
Won't get it.
And that will crucify you, and it's just so, it's disheartening, actually, but I'm learning on it. I'm learning. So thank you for mentioning that.
Amen. Amen. It's more than disheartening because they'll rob you. They'll discourage you, and in some cases, they will stop you.
Yeah,
that's
true. Yes, I've been crippled.
Because the word of them suddenly sound louder than the voice of God.
Come on and preach that. You just need to, girl, I need to send a tithe right there. Pass the bucket on that.
Ooh.
Right there. Right there. Let's just rest right there. They will rob you. Ooh. So right.
Ooh.
I've experienced that in my life.
Any other comments or questions? Richard.
I want you to share what you, if everyone is done, share what you shared with me this morning, because I think everyone should hear that. But.
Okay. I have been praying about whether I should share it or not, and Richard is insisting I share it, so maybe that's the Lord moving on him. I have dreams and I have visions. And last night, I had quite an encounter, it seems, with Demetrius.
Wow.
I don't know Demetrius.
And Demetrius is the grandson who passed about 2 months ago. And Demetrius was talking, but I was the only one that could see him. And he was kind of, it seemed, hanging around. But I'm going to share one thing that he said to me. And he was so clear that I had forgotten he was deceased in the dream. That's how clear it was. And I was looking at pictures, and Demetrius was fishing. And he had, I had a picture of him with this long fish that he had caught. And I ran over to him and I showed it. I said, look at this, Demetrius. I said, look at this fish that you caught. And he said, that's mean, Jeannie. I said, what do you mean that's mean? He says, you know I'm already gone. And I said, I am so sorry. I forgot. One thing that tells me is how close our realms are tied together.
Wow.
They're what we think is dead is not dead at all.
Yeah.
What? And if you could see, you'd know that. It's just gone from most of our view. But something, Demetrius was telling me stuff, and one of the things he said was that he was here because he has to await judgment. And
wow.
I said, await judgment, and I'm thinking, but absent with the body is present with the Lord.
Right.
And Demetrius was saved. He accepted the Lord as his Savior. But Demetrius said, I was in an unclean lifestyle, so I have to await judgment. He said, yes, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But because of my lifestyle, I have to wait for judgment. That's what he said.
Wow.
Now, you can do whatever you want with that information, because I haven't studied it yet to find out how does this line up with the Word. But that's what he said, and it was very, it actually made sense, because all of us are going to stand judgment.
Right.
But some of us are absent from the body are definitely present with the Lord right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
Paul made that crystal clear.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But maybe when he said that you can in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven if this, if that, if that. Remember how it seems like it's a conflict?
Right.
He's talking about grace. And then it seems like, but let me see. We're declared righteous, so absent from the body, present with the Lord. But he also said nobody living like this is going to enter the, can enter the kingdom.
Hmm.
So which is it? Either you know, okay, I love the Lord, but I'm living with my girlfriend.
Hmm.
Right.
I'm in a lifestyle of fornication. But I love I know the Lord and I am saved. I believe him. Well, the Bible says fornicators are not going to make it into the kingdom, cannot come into the kingdom.
Mm.
Well, what if that is the key? Mm. The key is that not until judgment day and your name is found written when you are pronounced guilty, but your name is found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then you get in. And until then, you have to wait till judgment.
Mm.
Wow.
My Lord, my Lord.
Wow.
Oh, my Lord.
It started making a whole lot of things that I've seen in the past start to make sense.
Yes.
Because how can you be wrapped up in some kind of sorcery or witchcraft and then immediately you're in the presence of the Lord?
Yeah.
He says that you will not be, you cannot enter the kingdom that way. And it isn't until judgment day
that you can get
in. That you can get in.
Wow. Amazing.
I asked him, so how is it? He says it sucks. He
the
says
waiting
you can't
room
eat.
Sucks, huh?
Yeah, he said you can't eat, you can't drink, you can't have any kind of real pleasure because you don't have a body.
Mm. Wow.
You're just waiting for judgment.
Mm.
And
wow.
yet, you know, he was redeemed.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was.
Hmm.
Hmm.
Just something to chew on.
Chew
I'm not
going
to make too much of it because it's too powerful for me not to research it before I ever dare teach on something like that.
I
need
down.
To find out every Robert, single please. Thing God has
please.
Said and trust the Holy
please.
Spirit for the rest. But
please.
What I will say is do not take those scriptures lightly that say if you're in a sinful lifestyle, all is well because of grace.
Mm. Yes.
Because he's not saying that. He's not saying that. He's not saying all is well just because of grace. And you can just continue to sin.
Mm.
Mm. There's consequence, and I don't know exactly what they are, but that's what I saw last night.
Amen.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Richard, for insisting that Miss Jeanette
yes.
share. That was just what a powerful testimony. In
yes.
addition to all the
yeah.
wonderful nuggets she's already delivered today,
mm-hmm.
today is an unforgettable day. We've been
yes.
given wisdom beyond belief, beyond
mm-hmm.
belief, beyond
yes,
she's a mighty
my,
woman of God.
Yes. Yeah, it said, touch my soul to remind me that you cannot live any kind
any
of way
kind
and
of
enter
yes.
into the kingdom of God.
Come on
you,
now.
You,
yes.
you accept him as your Lord and Savior, but you
yes.
and you are saved. And when judgment comes, then you will enter in because Demetrius' name was written in the books of the Lamb Book of Life. But in the
yes.
meantime, for whatever time that may be, it's not a pleasant thing. So don't die in your sin. Knowingly,
yes.
lifestyle was the key. We all are sinners, and we all will
yes.
sin, but we're not a practicing lifestyle, a lifestyle
Amen.
Of sin.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, that touched me so much this morning. I just had to. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus.
I know.
Thank
you,
Lord.
Yes, hallelujah.
Thank
hallelujah,
you, Lord.
Thank you.
Because
thank
I am a
Lord.
Sinner, and I'm asking the Lord,
thank
cleanse
you.
Me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and
who would
keep
like
us.
To close us in prayer?
Richard.
Yeah.
Okay.
Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you have given us this time in your word.
Yes,
we
Lord.
Thank you for the vision that you've given us, given to Jeanette to share with
yes.
us. We thank you,
Father,
that we have seen what has happened in the life of Saul and David. We
yes,
have
Lord.
A vision, Lord, that we can hold on to, knowing
yes,
that
Father.
Your grace and your mercy is sufficient for all of our needs, but we have
yes,
an
Lord.
Obligation to live to serve you in spirit and truth. Lord, we thank you this day. We thank you for all that you are for us. Now, Lord, I pray that your word will truly be a word that we will meditate on day and night. That, Lord, we will not forget what we have heard. It will not seep into one ear and out the other, but it will seep deep into our hearts where our soul is, Lord God. And we will live faithful and righteously in your presence. Lord, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for giving us this day of mercy and grace. Thank you, Lord God. And thank you, Father, for all that are on this call and all that wanted to be on this call. We thank you in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Woo, hallelujah. Have a super blessed week, everyone.
You too. Thank you for joining us, Roxanne.
Have
a beautiful blessed week,
yeah.
everyone.
Bye, Roxanne.
Bye.
All
right. Bye, everyone. Okay.